Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to another episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and today we celebrate the festival of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our reading for today comes to us from Job chapter 19. I'll begin reading in verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is God's word for God's people. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. The truth about Job and his life was something like that. Job was a great man, a man of greatness, great means, and great character. He was fabulously wealthy and yet wonderfully humble and faithful. He was blessed with a big family, 7 sons, 3 daughters, and tremendous prosperity. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, and yet none of that prosperity went to his head. Job, despite being the greatest man among all the peoples of the East, was still blameless and upright in God's sight. When Job's kids would get together to celebrate, Job would offer a burnt offering on each of their behalf, thinking to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. The only thing that Job loved more than his family was his God. And that was true even when things got tough. One day, things got more than tough. In a single day, all the greatness that his friends and neighbors could see in Job's life disappeared, vanished, just like that. The Sabaeans stole all his oxen and donkeys. His sheep and shepherds were destroyed by what seemed to be a lightning-sparked wildfire. The Chaldeans carried off his camels, and worst of all, a windstorm struck the house of Job's oldest son, destroyed it, and killed all of his children. In the blink of an eye, everything that Job worked for a lifetime, and nearly everyone that Job loved, was gone. He was ruined. But Job didn't see it that way. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Job processed this horrible news, any single piece of which might break a lesser man. And he grieved as anyone would. And then he did something that surprises us. He fell to the ground in worship. He declared, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, if Job's life were a movie, you might walk out of the theater right then and there. You'd scoff that the filmmakers would put that kind of reaction in his mouth. Nobody would do that, right? But sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. I'd love to tell you that the next days in Job's life were better than that terrible day. But quickly, insult was added to injury. Job got sick. He had painful sores that broke out on his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Job's wife had seen and gone through enough. She told her husband to curse God and die, but Job refused. He asked her, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" It was a shocking retort. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. How could Job maintain his integrity after all this senseless pain and suffering? But sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Before long, word got out about Job's troubles, so friends from a distance came to be with him. They came to comfort him initially, but before long, it seemed like they were just rubbing salt in his wounds. Maybe they were scared for their own futures, but as they looked at Job, they couldn't shake the idea that Job must have done something wrong, something to warrant all this pain and grief. Like first-year med students who just can't find the vein for an IV, Job's friends poked and prodded through his life, insisting that he must have sinned in some secret way. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Can you imagine somebody treating you that way? I mean, wasn't what Job had endured bad enough? How could his friends, who are coming to his rescue, coming to sympathize with him and comfort him, treat him like this? Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. But this was Job's life. In a couple of weeks, he had gone through bankruptcy and unthinkable bereavement. His body had broken open with infections. His marriage was falling apart at the seams. And his friends were laying all the blame at his feet. Job, this once great man, this pillar in his community, this shining example of doing things the right way, was now poor, sad, sick, despised. He was considered a cautionary tale. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Can you imagine what Job must have been thinking and feeling? It's hard not to, isn't it? Even if we can't imagine it on that level, on that scale, we can relate on a smaller scale, can't we? Because you've heard stories like Job's. You've seen truth that's sadder than fiction. That buddy who's diagnosed with a terminal disease just weeks after his retirement. The woman whose husband up and leaves her for a 20-something after 30 years of marriage. That young couple that wants nothing more than to start a family, but instead endures a series of devastating miscarriages. The small business owner who's being sucked dry by employee laziness and negligence, customer theft, national inflation. It's grown children trying to help their dad see that he's dealing with Alzheimer's. It's the stay-at-home mom whose husband is killed in a car accident. It's the child with incurable brain cancer. It's the widow whose kids never visit but can't afford to move out of the only place she's ever called home. It's the young person who is desperately seeking love, committed, faithful, God-pleasing marriage love, but can't find it anywhere. It's situations like these, and thousands more. Sometimes the truth isn't just stranger than fiction, it's sadder too. When our lives look anything like this, or the lives of those we love, we can't help but wonder, is God for us or against us? When our own situation feels like it's circling the drain and there's nothing we can do to stop it, nothing that we can do about it, we wonder, is God for me or against me? That is the deep question that Job was wrestling with. His friends had an answer. They told Job that God was against him because Job must have sinned in some terrible way. But Job was certain that was not true. As strange as it sound, a man who recognized that he was not perfect, recognized also that he had not shipwrecked his life. He was so certain that he wished that his life story would be passed down to future generations. You can feel his fervor as he says to God, "Oh, that my words were recorded, written on a scroll, chiseled out and filled with lead, engraved in rock forever." As Job made this wish, he wasn't just thinking that history might vindicate him. Job trusted that God would. As Job looked at his life, his true story that was stranger and sadder than fiction, he suspected that he was very near death. He was certain that he would succumb to his illness, but when he died, he was convinced that he would see God with his own eyes, and he was looking forward to it. Why? Because Job knew that he had a living Redeemer. Someone who would stand up for him when he could not stand up for himself. This truth was stronger than all Job's afflictions, stronger than the fiction that his friends offered him. Job knew that he had a living Redeemer, someone who knew him personally, someone who saw his life and all his struggles, knew him inside and out, and would stand up and serve as his divine defender. That sounds stranger than fiction. Do you know the Redeemer that Job was anticipating? This isn't the only time the Old Testament speaks of this Redeemer. Psalm 19, we're told that this Redeemer hears our thoughts and our words. In Isaiah 43, we're told that this Redeemer created us, formed us, and even calls us by name. Jeremiah tells us our Redeemer is strong. He's almighty. He vigorously defends our case. He alone gives us rest. Micah tells us that this Redeemer will rescue us from our enemies. From all our enemies. There's only one who has stood upon this earth and who meets all of these qualifications. This Redeemer is no one less than Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is living proof that God is for us. And while Job's life might be stranger than fiction, Jesus' life was even stranger. Jesus was even more upright and blameless than Job. He was even more humble and faithful too. Job's friends suspected that he might be guilty of some secret sin, but Jesus' enemies couldn't find him guilty of even a single sin. For much of Job's life, he was fabulously wealthy. Jesus was shockingly impoverished. He left the fabulous glory of heaven and never sniffed anything that could be confused with a royal life until he was standing in the palace of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, dressed up as a faux king, sentenced to die. Yet even as Jesus died, he did not lash out at his enemies. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. He prayed for their forgiveness. He told the women to stop weeping for him. He assured one of the criminals by his side that he would be with him in paradise that very day. And as he suffered and died, Jesus remained blameless. Even his enemies could see that. The Roman centurion who was tasked with crucifying him remarked upon his death, "Surely this was a righteous man." Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Yet this true story, the real life and death of Jesus, did not stop there. 3 days later, he stood upon the earth again. Physically, in the flesh. And this Jesus was not some figment of the imagination of his followers. They didn't fabricate some story about him continuing on after his death. They believed that this crucifixion was his end. But like Job's friends, they were wrong. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. In this case, the truth, Jesus, is stronger than the forces of sin, death, and the devil. Do you see him? Do you see the one who triumphed over death? Do you see the one who kept all of his promises? Do you see the one who stood in your place, stands upon the earth? Do you see the one who holds the keys of death in his nail-marked hands? Do you see him who is alive forever and ever? Do you see him who is the first fruits of the resurrection? Do you see him who calls you by name, who vigorously defends your case, who has rescued you from the power of your enemies, from sin, death, and the devil? Do you see him? You might be inclined to say no. But the truth is stranger than fiction. Now, I can understand if your heart yearns within you to see Jesus with your own eyes, face to face, as Mary Magdalene did. I'm sure there's a part of you that gets why she held on to Jesus so tightly and did not want to let go, but you do see him as Job did. You know him who lives, who stands upon the earth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That truth is stronger than fiction. In the days after Jesus' resurrections, his enemies concocted a story about how his disciples overwhelmed trained Roman soldiers and stole their teacher's body just to tell people that he was alive, and then were so committed to this lie that they were willing to die themselves. That's nothing more than fabricated fiction. The truth, stranger and stronger than that. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You can see that in his redemptive work. You can see his redemptive power and the change that he worked in his followers after he was raised to life. In a woman like Mary Magdalene, who was certain at one point that his enemies had stolen his body, when she heard her Redeemer call her by name, she was filled with joy. You can see his redemptive power in the lives of his disciples, people who were once too scared to even stand at the foot of his cross or give him a proper burial, then go and preach boldly and confidently and refuse to be intimidated by the very people who crucified Jesus. You can see his redemptive power in the Apostle Paul, a man who once zealously persecuted all those who proclaimed that Jesus rose from the dead. Now testifying to his dying day that Christ had indeed been raised from the dead. You see him in the lives of those he loved and loves this very day. You see that God is for us, for the afflicted, in this world, just as he was for Job. Do you see your living Redeemer? Do you see the Redeemer who is at work for you today, redeeming people whose lives have been sadder than fiction and filled with afflictions? This Redeemer lives to silence all your fears. This Redeemer stands by your side to calm your troubled heart. This Redeemer is there for you, with the terminally ill, with the abandoned, with the grieving, with those who are wiped out, with those who are struggling, with those who are lonely. Danger and disease and even death have no real power over any of those that he calls by name, because God is for us and with us. Because our Redeemer lives and he stands up for us and stands upon the earth victorious. He will always be with us to the very end of the age, and on that day, we will see that God is for us in the flesh. On that day, our Redeemer, who lives, will wipe away every last tear. And then you will see him as clear as day with your own eyes. You will see in the flesh that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you that Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Your Redeemer lives and stood in your place and stands up for you now. And will stand with you for eternity. If you'd like to learn more about the work of this Redeemer, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to connect with us directly and join us for worship as we thank and praise and receive strength from the Redeemer who lives for us. Until next time.